brought us together here to worship you. Speak to us now, not only in the message today, the music, the fellowship that we have with one another. And Lord, challenge us to be your servants wherever we may go. We love you and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated.
Well, good morning. I know we give God all the credit, all the glory for everything that is done, but it also says that we should encourage one another. And I want you to encourage this band, the ladies and gentlemen who lead us in worship every week. Would you give them a hand? Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you. Love you. If you have your bulletins and haven't yet, please take your outline out in the middle of your bulletin and have that ready. You can follow along the scriptures we'll be looking at today, as well as take some notes as we go through this message. I've entitled this message, When You Feel Like You're Sinking. It is based on the story of Jesus going out on the rough seas when the disciples are out in a boat. Peter decides to get out, and he starts sinking. We're going to go through that today, and I want you to follow along as I read the verses out of Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 52, that tells this story. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, where he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up alone on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Very interesting story. Jesus intentionally sends his disciples into a storm. It wasn't an accident. It was on purpose. Why? Because he had a faith lesson he wanted to teach them. A lesson about what to do when you feel like you are sinking. Now, first, I want to give you five indications, five signs, which may indicate that you indeed might be sinking. Because a lot of times when we're sinking emotionally, relationally, spiritually, when we're sinking, sometimes we don't recognize it. There are five signs that you might be sinking. The first is this: I can't see my way. Fill that in. I can't see my way. If you can't see your way clearly, that's an indication you might be sinking. I feel like I'm in the dark. I'm in a cloud. I don't have any clarity. I don't have any vision. I'm confused. The Bible says in John 6:17 that by now, when this occurrence took place, by now it was dark. Now, most of us have never been in complete total darkness. But 2,000 years ago in Israel, without electricity, in the middle of the lake, the storm clouds covering the stars and the moon, it is pitch black. And you literally cannot see the hand in front of your face. There is no light whatsoever. One of the first characteristics that you may be going under, you may be sinking, is when you feel like you can't see your way clearly any longer. Have you ever felt like that? A time or two or 100 in your life? Secondly, another sign that you might be sinking is when you feel like you are on your own. I feel like I'm on my own. I'm rowing against the storm, and I feel like I'm all by myself. Nobody else is helping me. I feel out of touch with God. As a matter of fact, in this story in John 6:17, the Bible says Jesus had not yet joined them. He wasn't yet with his disciples in the boat. They were all on their own. And when you feel like you're on your own, you have a tendency to get frightened. There's a third sign that you might be sinking. It's when you are out of your comfort zone. How many of you know some of your comfort zones? You know where you feel comfortable, at ease. You know where you're just on top of your game, your comfort zone. You understand that, right? And when you get out of your comfort zone, sometimes it's scary. Look what the Bible says in Mark 6:47. The boat was in the middle of the lake, Matthew 14:24. They were a long way from shore. The boat is in the middle of the lake. It's a giant lake. It's actually called the what? The Sea of Galilee, not the Lake of Galilee. That's how big the lake was. It was the largest freshwater lake in Israel, 64 square miles, about the size of Washington, D.C. It's no little body of water. And they are out of their comfort zone. Years ago, I had a boat, and Pastor John and I were working together at a church, and John was asking me, started to beg me, got on my nerves about taking him out in the boat. So I said, okay, John, we'll go. Now, it was already fall. Best fishing times are over. And we went out. Well, the night before, I checked the weather forecast, and it wasn't good. It was going to be raining, cold, overcast, windy. And the seas were going to be 5 feet. Now, I didn't have an offshore boat. I had an 18-foot fish and ski combo. It was rigged to go offshore. And I just wanted to take John down the Folly and catch a fish and get home. So I heard what was going on. I looked outside. I said, John, we can't go. It's not a good time, man. I'm not trying to disappoint. We can't go. He'd been waiting for this since he was born. John, we can't go. Come on. Y'all, have you had a chance, Calvary, to get to know John? Don't you just love him? He's so nice, you want to just smack him sometimes. So John begged me into taking him down. You know you should have turned around. You're out of your comfort zone with a boat in the water when there are white caps on the Folly River. Right? I go down. I turn around and say, no, not going. Come on, Kevin. I guess I just had my stupid cap on. We went down the Folly River. You know how you go down and then you turn left into the Stono and there's the ocean. And I'm seeing the ocean waves. And I'm thinking, get back home. Start to tell John, I'm going back home. John said, oh, come on, we're almost there. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't even have a zone when it comes to water and boats. We go past the sandbars. We get out into the ocean. And my boat's going up the wave and down. About the time the nose hits, comes another wave. Are you with me? Except one time, the nose went down a little deep. And the next wave started coming over the boat before I ever got up. I don't know how many thousands of gallons of water got into our boat. I do know it knocked John down and it knocked me down. We were literally on the bottom of the boat and it's cold. And now we're drenched. And I said, John, are you okay? He said, I don't know. I don't know where my glasses are. And me, I lost my favorite Tennessee hat to the ocean. Gone. We got back up. I had a kill switch lantern on, so it killed the boat motor, put the boat motor back, and turned the bilge pumps on, getting ready to go back. John stands up and he says, well, we're almost there. I was out of my comfort zone. And I love John, but I'd had enough. Fourth sign that you're sinking. Strong forces are against me. When I sense that there are different kinds of forces coming against me, I might be sinking. In Matthew 14:24, it said that they tossed around and were battered by the waves. John 6:18 says the waters grew rough. Mark 6:48 says the wind was against them. The word that's used in these verses is the word megas. It was a mega storm. The winds were almost hurricane force. The waves were way above the boat. Sometimes in life we feel like we're going through a mega storm, where the winds and the waves are taking control of us and they're pushing us and pulling us and knocking us, and we might be sinking. And the fifth sign that you might be sinking: I'm struggling and I'm failing. Mark 6:48 says, they were in various serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. I'm doing my best, but I'm still going under. I'm straining, I'm struggling, I'm rowing the boat, but I'm not making any progress. I know some of you have felt that way before. Some of you may feel that way right now. You've been trying to get out of debt, but you're going further in. You've been trying to get a new, different job, but there's just none available. You've been trying to make your relationships work, but it just doesn't seem like it's coming about. You know what it's like to go through those life struggles. When we go through tough problems, we typically think that God has forgotten us. We think that God is not aware. We think he's a million miles away. But nothing could be further from the truth. The fact is, every time you go through a storm, God is doing four things. We see that because Jesus did four things for his disciples when he sent them out intentionally into a storm. What does Jesus do for us when we are sinking? First, he prays for us before the sinking takes place. Even before we hit the storm, Jesus prays for us. In Matthew 14, Jesus was up on the mountains praying for his disciples as he sent them out into the storm. Now, God obviously knows everything that's going to happen in your life and in my life. God is timeless. That's why you'll never hear God go, "Wow, I didn't see that one coming." The night before Jesus went to the cross, he was with his disciples. Peter's kind of bragging, and he says, "Lord, I will die for you." Jesus said, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times before tomorrow morning." And in Luke 23:32, look what it says. Jesus said, "Peter, I have prayed for you that you will not lose your faith. Help your brothers be strong when you come back to me." What did Jesus do? He prayed for Peter in the storm he was getting ready to go through. Before Peter ever went through it, Jesus was praying for him. The point is, folks, Jesus has already prayed for me. He's already prayed for you before we go through any type of storm that we're going to go through tonight, we're going to go through tomorrow, or next week, or next month, or next year. He's already interceding for us. When you go through tough times, when you're being tempted, when you're failing, when you're losing your faith, the Bible says in Romans 8:34, who condemns us? Not Jesus Christ, who died and then was raised back to life and is now at the right side of God interceding for us. Now he's before his Father interceding for us, praying for us. Can you imagine? Jesus is before God praying for me. Before Monday morning ever gets here, Jesus already discussed it with God. And he does the same thing for you. Aren't you glad? Jesus is praying for you. He's on your side. Something else Jesus does for us before the storm is that he notices our struggles. He notices our struggles. In Mark 6:48, the Bible says Jesus saw the disciples straining at the oars. They're trying to keep the ship afloat. They're trying to get back to shore, and Jesus sees it. The disciples were unaware that Jesus was paying attention to what was going on, so they were afraid. We always get afraid when we think God isn't paying attention. In Job 31:4, the Bible says this, "He sees everything I do and counts every step I take." You don't even count every step you take. Some of you think you do. You have those little pedometers. You put them in your pocket and you walk, 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 walk. Oh, I have 30,000 steps. Walk, walk, walk. Well, I think that's great. But I guarantee you that pedometer missed a step or two. Right? God doesn't miss one step. He sees everything I do. Third, after he notices your struggles, he comes to you at our moment of desperation. He comes at our moment of desperation. What does Jesus do when you're at your moment of desperation? I love this. Mark 4:48. About the fourth watch of the night, he went to them. Would you underline that part of the verse? Jesus went to them. When you're at your point of desperation, Jesus comes to you. Notice Jesus didn't say, "Hey, you guys come to me." He went to them. When you're in a storm and you need somebody to show up and come to you, that's what Jesus does. He intervened in their storm. Folks, that's the essence of the gospel. The good news that God doesn't stand on the shoreline telling us what to do. He comes out and meets us in our pain, in our fear, in our desperation, in our storm, in our discouragement. He comes to us. There are times you may feel abandoned. I understand that. I get that. Trust me. I get it. But just because we feel abandoned doesn't mean we are abandoned by God. John 14:18. Jesus says, "I will not abandon you or leave you as orphans in the storm. I will come to you." You can count on it. How does Jesus come to us? He comes walking on the very problem that scares you. What are you afraid of? The disciples were afraid of the waves. They were getting ready to be trounced with them. They were going to go under because of them. They were afraid of the waves. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus comes to them walking on the waves. Listen, folks, fill this in. Whatever is over your head is under Jesus' feet. Now, after you write that down, you ought to say amen sometime. That's good stuff right there. Whatever is over our head is under the feet of Jesus. That's a promise to hold on to. We may feel like we are drowning, but our problems are under the feet of Jesus. Jesus walks on the very problems that scare us. And fourth, Jesus shows me his true identity. You learn what Jesus is really like in the storms of life. He's not mere man. He's not just a nice teacher. He's not just an ethical leader. Jesus is God. Mark 6:49 and 50. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. Now, I don't know how you read this passage. Sometimes I used to read it kind of smugly. There is no ghost. Look at these sissy disciples. The reality is, if I saw a ghost or what I thought was a ghost anywhere, I spook easily. Ask my wife. I mean, easily. Well, I don't want to tell you what spooks me. Everything. They were terrified. They thought it's a ghost, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. It is I. It's me, guys. It's Jesus. You know, God's Son." Folks, when you're in a storm, you don't need a job. You need Jesus. When you don't need a plan, when you're in the storm, you need a person. You don't need a symptom. You need a savior. You don't need a new goal. You need God. He's the one that helps you through the storm. He's not some distant, apathetic, uninvolved God. Jesus prays, notices, comes to us, and shows his true identity to us when we're in the midst of our storm. So, inevitably, still, there are going to be times we feel like we're sinking. We very well may be sinking. So what do we do? What do we do then? A couple of things. First, have courage. Why? Because Jesus is with me. Mark 6:50, Jesus said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." That's the starting point. I need to have courage in the storm. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is when you move ahead in spite of your fear. Courage is when you do the right thing even though you're scared to death to do it. Have courage. Why? Because Jesus is with you. Secondly, when you're sinking, you have faith. Take a risk in faith. In Matthew's telling of this story, he adds a detail that John and Mark leave out. That is that Peter walked on water too. Notice in Matthew 14:28-29, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. How would you like to be the first, and as far as I know, only human being that walked on water? I mean, wouldn't that be kind of cool? An experience of a lifetime. But before Peter jumped out, he asks for identification. He thought someone was trying to spook him. Peter asked for identification. "Lord, is it you? If it's you, I can join you. Jesus, is that you?" Peter isn't doubting he can walk on the water too. He just wants to make sure it's Jesus. If God tells you to go out and start a new business and you say, "Lord, I'll jump in the boat and do this, but first I've got to make sure it's you telling me this," it's an okay thing. You make sure it's God leading you. Not you or somebody else. So Peter jumps out of the boat. Peter had learned the lesson that is the most important lesson you need to learn from this text, and it is this. It is safer to be with Jesus out of the boat than in the boat without Jesus. Did you get that? It is safer to be with Jesus out of the boat than in the boat without Jesus. Where do you need to get out of the boat right now? You say, "God, I know I can't afford to do this, but I'm going to do it." Maybe some of you give to your church, both churches. Good. Maybe you need to start tithing. Tithing is giving 10% of your income back to God through the church. That would be a step of faith. That might be the boat you need to get out of. Number three, another thing we need to do is to stay focused on Jesus. You do this when you think you're sinking, Don't get your eyes on anything else, anyone else. Keep your eyes on the Lord, because the moment you let your eyes off the Lord, you're going to go under. Matter of fact, this is what happened to Peter. Look at Matthew 14:30. But when Peter looked around at the high waves, he was terrified, and he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. It says when Peter looked around, he began to sink. Every time you start looking at your circumstances, you're going to go down. So keep your eyes on the Lord. The only thing that changed here is that Jesus, or Peter, changed what he was looking at who he was looking at. There are people who will try to get you to think that whatever you're considering is illogical. Maybe it is illogical. It was illogical for Peter to try and walk on water, but he did. So you trust God. You walk instead of sink. Stay focused on Him. And then number four, don't doubt. You need to believe your beliefs, and you need to doubt your doubts. Doubts are meant to be doubted. Beliefs are meant to be believed. We get them confused. We start doubting our beliefs and believe our doubts. That's not right. Peter looks around and he starts to sink. Look at Matthew 14:31. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? I don't even think this was a big rebuke of Peter, because, face it, at least Peter got out of the boat. Where are the other guys? In the boat. Holding hands. At least Peter got out. Notice Jesus reaches down and he says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He didn't say, you of no faith. The no faith people were the folks who didn't get out of the boat. He said, you of little faith. Peter walked on water for a while on little faith. It's when he took his eyes off of God that he started to go down. Folks, you don't need great faith. It's not the size of your faith that matters. It's the size of the God we serve. You can say, well, Pastor, I just have a tiny bit. I just have a little bit of faith. It's okay. Act on it. He's a big God. He's huge. We can't conceive how unbelievably powerful that He is. You got a little faith? That's all you need. That's all you need. Took just a little bit of faith for Peter to walk on that water. You put a little faith in a big God, you know what you get? Big results. It's kind of what we did here. Calvary Baptist Church, Crossroads Community Church, decided to come together and worship. Not all of us had all the faith it took. Some of us had a little faith. Be honest, we didn't know how this was going to work. We had no idea. We met and talked together with Charles for 2 months. 2 months talking and praying and talking. We didn't know how it was going to go, but we at least had a little faith in a big God, and look at us now. The last thing we do is we praise God. We praise God. You praise Him even in the storm. You don't have to praise Him for the storm. Paul said, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks, not for everything. There are things in my life I refuse to give thanks for. I don't even think God was involved in them. I think it was all of Satan. Why am I going to thank God for something Satan did? But in the midst of that, I'm still going to thank God. I'm going to choose to thank Him, if for nothing else, for who He is. You have two options when you're sinking. You can either worry or worship. You can panic or you can pray. You can tremble or you can trust. You can have fear or you can have faith. Matthew 14, 32 and 33 says this. When Jesus climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Why did Jesus send his disciples intentionally into a storm? He really wanted to see at this point in their development if they really believed that Jesus could do anything. He wanted to see if they really believed that he, Jesus, was all they need. So here's a question for all of us. What storm is scaring you in your life right now? What are you going through right now that makes you think you're beginning to sink? Why do you think God is letting you go through this particular storm at this particular time? I believe for all the same reasons he sent his disciples into the storm are the reasons he sends us into our storms or allows storms to come our way, for the same reasons. So we can say, God, you're all we need. Through you, I can get through this. Know that, God, I realize you'll come in the ninth hour, that Jesus will come walking on the very things that scare us most. He'll walk on our waves. Last question. How many storms is it going to take for you to learn to fully trust God? That doesn't mean you're passive. Doesn't mean you sit back with your arms crossed and you're just, I'm just waiting for God. No, sometimes God, many times God wants you to be very active in the process of him coming to help you from sinking. So you have a responsibility in this. But ultimately, all of our trust is in him. We can't do it. Are we ready to trust God through every storm of life we go through? Now, I realize Jesus isn't going to walk through your storm literally like he did then. One of the ways God and Jesus come to you in the storm is through other people. God brings other people. He raises people up, and he sends those people to you to love you and to help you, sometimes to challenge you, sometimes to rebuke you in love. Who is God sending you to get your attention, to hear what he wants to say to you? It works the other way. Who might God be wanting to send you to love them, to help them through the storm, to lift them up, to hold their hand, to pray with them, to give things to them that they need? We all need it. We all have storms. I hope that you and I will learn how to let Jesus get us through them. All right, let's pray. Jesus, I want to thank you. I believe this story is true, real, and literal. If your word tells us you walked on the water, I believe it. I think it's kind of interesting that you sent your disciples intentionally out into the storm. Sometimes that's what we need to get our attention, so we can learn that when that happens, we can trust fully in you. Now, God, we all go through storms. I don't know who's going through a storm now. I don't know who just came through a storm. I don't know who's going to into a storm next week or next month. Whether it's us going through it, God, help us to take these lessons of faith so we can make it through that storm. Or if we know others are going through one, then make us the people we need to be to help them through their storm. Now, bless us, Lord, as we respond and react to what you've not only done this morning, but what you've been talking to us about this week, getting our attention about, things we need to recommit to, things we need to repent of, things we need to continue on in. So bless us, Lord, as we use this time of response to make sure we're walking with you in a way that we need to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we thank you so much for the joy that we have when we come into your house, the way that we can truly honor and praise you together. In a time, Lord, when there's many people in this world that are suffering right now, be with them, those who can't gather together because of health concerns, because of the pandemic. May we speak to them through online services and different ways that we can minister to them. Lord, we pray for our country this week as many decisions are made. Help your spirit to guide and to lead us. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.